The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washing, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you. I hope everyone's ready to spend the next day or so home and enjoying some hot chocolate and watching the snow fall. And the kids might be hoping to make some snowmen tomorrow, right? I'm sorry the snow didn't come Monday night so you could miss school on Tuesday. But we're glad that you're here this evening, and greetings to all those who are watching on our live stream. We are at the beginning of a new year, and the lectionary presents the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, which is why we have this story of the wedding of Cana. That was his first miracle, and John says that through that miracle he revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. There was one disciple, though, that had already believed in him, and that was his mother. It's a beautiful story. When John talks about Mary, there's always so much more depth, you could say, of meaning and symbolism that he understood in the life of the Blessed Mother. She's not just one saint among the other saints. Somehow in their life together in Nazareth, Jesus must have talked to his mother about his hour. And his hour refers to his passion. His going to the cross to die for us so we could go to heaven. He would open the gates of heaven for us. That wouldn't have been a conversation that a mother would have probably wanted to hear, right? The hour of Jesus wasn't something that she could have been looking forward to. And yet John says this powerful line in his gospel that it was Mary who went to Jesus to ask him to perform a sign, knowing it would begin his ministry, which would lead him to that hour. She didn't try to hide Jesus for herself or keep him as long as she could. She willingly, in a sense, let him go. So I'd like to just talk about that beautiful attitude in Mary's heart today. When the angel Gabriel goes to Mary and he asks her to be a part of the work of God, and if she would be willing to be the mother of the Messiah, she says yes. We translate it in Latin, fiat, powerful, probably the most powerful word in the gospel, fiat, let it be done. And so Mary in the beginning says yes, and then as she's about to give birth, there's this decree that comes out. She has to go with Joseph on a long journey to Bethlehem. And there in a stable, she brings Jesus into the world. She had in that moment to once again say yes to God's plan. And then we know she lost Jesus in the temple. That probably was 3 awful days for her as a mother. And here at Cana, she's, in a sense, inviting Jesus. She's willingly saying yes to God once again. She'll lose her only son. And John remembers that at the foot of the cross, you see, he's writing this, and he's the only apostle who was there when Jesus died at the foot of the cross. And next to John was Mary. And he remembers to include in his story about the life of Jesus that Mary was there at the end of his life. She once again had to say fiat to God as she, in a sense, watched her son die on a cross. Well, there's an artist I would like to use today. He's Michelangelo. I think some of you have heard of him, right? He's probably one of the greatest artists who ever lived. And he has a sculpture that we've all certainly seen, I would hope, called the Pietà. That Pietà sculpture is able to put into that one piece of art Mary's fiat, her whole way of life. And I had the grace in Rome when I was there to have a guided tour by probably one of the best historians of art in Rome at the time. Her name is Dr. Lev. If you ever go to Rome, you need to look her up, and I want to give credit to her because the meditation that she presented to us about the Pietà was so beautiful that I want to share part of it today. See, Michelangelo was an unknown artist at the time. It was 1498. We're getting really close to the year 1500. And in Rome, Pope Alexander was preparing a lot of, you could say, events that would mark kind of that big round number of an anniversary. And so there was a lot of artwork commissioned at the time, and a cardinal who was in Rome, a cardinal who was from France, so much more north than Italy, was also there and was part of the preparations. This cardinal asked this unknown sculptor and painter artist named Michelangelo to create a Pietà. Now, it's interesting because this cardinal, being from France up there in the north, they were the ones who invented the Pietà as a subject. All right? The Pietà was Mary holding the body of Jesus after his crucifixion. It's not really in the Bible, but we do know that Mary was at the tomb to place Jesus there, so it's understandable at some point between Jesus coming off the cross and going to the tomb, Mary would have been with him and would have touched him and embraced him one last time. So that scene is called a Pietà. Now, the Germans that invented this, they had a different style of art. They weren't Renaissance artists, right? The Pietà in Germany never looks very nice. There is usually carved in wood, and this is what it looks like. I chose the most family-friendly Pietà I could find from Germany. So not much. You'd wonder, why would anyone want that, right? Well, this cardinal from that part of the world, that was nostalgic for him, so he wanted Michelangelo to paint one. But Michelangelo wasn't from Germany. He was from Italy, from Florence, and he had learned his art there. And in Florence, they had a different style. They didn't like making the Pietà. They liked painting the Madonna with Child. Raphael painted this one relatively at the same time, about a dozen years later. This is what people in Florence liked. Mary with the baby Jesus, a much more happy moment. So Michelangelo, as a great artist he was, began to meditate, and knowing he had to paint a Pietà or make the Pietà, he wanted to do it in his own way, in a Florence way, you could say. And that's where he combined both Bethlehem, Mary with the child, with Jerusalem, Calvary, Mary with the crucified Jesus. And so we can go to the Pietà image here. There's not many images of the Pietà that aren't copyrighted, so you can look for better ones later on. This gives you at least an image of what Michelangelo created. What he wanted to do was to show the beauty of the life of Mary and how through Mary's fiat, she offers Jesus to the world. Jesus is actually sliding off of her lap. And this was created to be over an altar. The very symbol of the Eucharist, the bread of life, Mary and Jesus coming onto the altar. Mary is much larger than Jesus. If they were to stand up, she would be towering over him. But he had to create her much larger so that she could still kind of look like the mother holding her son. You see, the face of Mary, if we kind of look a little closer, this could be Mary saying fiat to the angel, Mary holding the baby Jesus, Mary there in Cana. It's that same attitude of yes to God, whatever God gives her, in the good, beautiful moments of life or in the hard ones. And this is the same face that Michelangelo imagined Mary to have in the moment when she receives the broken body of her son. When Michelangelo was carving the body of Jesus, it was something he polished and polished and polished like he never would polish again. It was to create Jesus with, you could say, the shiny appearance of a child, right? That his skin just looks like very youthful. And you can barely see the nail marks in his hands. If we look at the face of Jesus, he's like he's sleeping. He's resting peacefully. His mission has been accomplished. He's no longer in agony. It was an act of love on the cross. Yes, he suffered for us, but that was the moment he loved us more than anyone's ever loved us. It was a beautiful moment, even though it was so hard. And so this image that Michelangelo was able to put together embodies Christian living, I think, in a very beautiful way. You see, all of us are going to receive many blessings and gifts from God. And at the same time, life is going to bring us many crosses. And it's up to each one of us to be able to say yes to God in the beautiful moments and in the difficult moments. In a certain sense, some of the most difficult and hard things in our lives, when we look back on them later, they can become the most beautiful moments of our lives. And it's through Christ and his grace that that will happen. Michelangelo became famous after he created this. In fact, everyone loved it so much as he was standing there in the crowds admiring the work that no one knew who would have been able to make this. And so they came up with other names of other artists. No one knew Michelangelo. He was a little, you could say, jealous of that. And so that night he carved his name across the sash that Mary's wearing. And he wrote, Michelangelo made this, right? It ended up being the only piece of art in the whole St. Peter's Basilica that has the artist's name on it. Most of the artists just gave their gift and didn't want to be acknowledged. But for Michelangelo, this was the watershed moment in his life. This is where he became Michelangelo, and it was through that meditation on the Word of God. Today, as we hear about the wedding of Cana, where Mary brings Jesus into the life of this couple, ask Mary today. She is one of the greatest intercessors we have. She's a mother. Why would she ever not listen to us if we ask her to please ask her son to come into our lives? And living a life like Mary is perhaps the best way to live a Christian life. That's why Catholics were so devoted to Mary. There was no Christian in the world, and there will never be another one as Christian as Mary was. She teaches us what it means to be children of God. And that's going to mean in our life saying yes in the hard moments, in the beautiful moments, and in every moment of our life. Let us hopefully be able to say fiat as she did. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.